I don't know if you get a little newsletter called Prayer Closet Ministries, but I got it sent to me. I don't know how I got it, but it started coming in the mail. But it's been a blessing. From time to time, I get a chance to look at it. And it's written by Dr. Kevin Meter. And it teaches us, it gives us some teaching, some coaching, some encouragement on how to pray. And recently, I got one in the mail that was entitled Praying for Those with Cancer. How to Pray for Those with Cancer, in other words. And I found in it several points that I thought were really intriguing. And I took those points and I put them into a message of my own and delivered it to my church on this past Wednesday night. And it was such a blessing to all of us that I wanted to just share that message with you today. As a matter of fact, I'm standing in our sanctuary right now. I'm standing here looking at empty pews, but I'm imagining you sitting there. And oh, look at you. You look so nice. But if you would, if you have a Bible handy, please turn first off to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 13. Matthew 8 and verse 13. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture there to start off with. As you're turning there, let me go ahead and tell you a little bit about what we're going to be talking about. Instead of praying for those with cancer, I would like for us to think about how we should pray for those with any kind of disease. You may know someone who has something other than cancer. You may know someone who has a skin disease or has some sort of disease in their intestines, or they may have a back problem, or the list could go on and on with various things, heart issues. You know someone who is suffering from a disease. So, what we want to look at today are seven things to remember when we're praying for someone with disease. The first thing is that healing from disease can be a process. Healing from disease can be a process. Now, I want you to first, though, look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 13, where I ask you to turn. Matthew 8 and verse 13 says, "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." Now, what was happening here? A centurion had come to Jesus and asked Jesus if he would heal his servant. Jesus, because he saw the faith of this centurion, said, "Your servant will be healed this same hour." And as a matter of fact, when we read on further, we find out that he was. Then, if you look over, I'll turn there quickly for you if you don't have the time, but look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 29. Mark 5, verse 29, we read here of the woman with an issue of blood. She had had this blood for flowing for 12 years. We don't know exactly what the disease was that she had, but she had something that the physicians could not take care of. She heard about Jesus, and so she went out to him and touched the hem of his garment. Now, that's a whole message in itself, and I would love to preach that one, but I don't have the time at the moment. But she touched the hem of his garment, knowing then, making evidence of her faith that he was the Messiah. And so when she did this, she was healed. The Bible says, verse 29, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Now, what we see in these two verses is that God does heal immediately. God does heal in an instant. And as Baptist, quite frankly, we don't really talk about that too often. But I want to go on record here as saying, for anyone who questions this, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, that He's still a miracle-working God, and that at any moment, any time, to anyone He chooses, He can heal in a moment, instantly, immediately. I have no question about that. I have seen it happen with my own eyes, in my own family. I have seen it happen. I know He does this. But does He necessarily always use a person to do it? No, I don't think He does. He can, and maybe He does. But the fact of the matter is, He does heal immediately, and He does it any way He wants to. So I know that is a fact. Now, I know that there are those out there that are a bunch of charlatans, and I don't know if you've ever run into them, but I have. As a matter of fact, I can remember I went to a little Church of God church down in Rossville, and a quote-unquote prophetess came to preach there, and I was asked to come hear her for whatever reason. And so I went on invitation to go hear this lady preach. And folks, I can tell you right now, this was years ago. I was in my 20s. I was young. I was a young preacher. And if it had been me now going to do this, I think very seriously, I might have just stood up in the church, pointed my finger at her, and said, "You are of the devil. You are a charlatan. And this is nothing but a lie. And you're taking these people's money." Because what this woman did was she walked around in the church, she would put her hands on people's bellies and just say, "You've got a tumor in you, you've got a cancer in you, and you're healed." And these people never even knew they were sick to begin with. And then she did this all over the congregation, folks. And then when it was all said and done, she takes up a love offering and stands in at the front pew and counts every dollar. And then when she's done, she looks out over the congregation and says, "This is not enough. There is someone out there who needs to give a $100 bill." I couldn't believe it. I could not believe what I was seeing. But there were people that gave a $100 bill. And then when they gave the $100, she said, "Now there's someone here who needs to give a $50. And folks, these people did that, and I could not believe it. But they did. And she was a crook. She was a false prophet. Because, folks, there was no glorying God in that. She was getting all the glory. And I'm not even going to go into the rest of the story. But the point is God does heal immediately, but I doubt it came through her. And I doubt anybody got healed that day. And if they did, it was surely out of the mercy of God that He was working a miracle in somebody else's life, despite what some false prophet was doing. Now, turn over, if you would, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. And here's something I want us to look at that I think is very, very important. And remember here, we're talking about praying for those with disease. And the first thing is that healing from disease can be a process. We do know that God can heal immediately. But look at this in Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. It says, "Then He came to Bethsaida," we're talking about Jesus, "and they brought Him a blind man and begged Him to touch him. So He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when He had spit on his eyes and put His hands on him, He asked him if he saw anything." Now notice, Jesus spit on his eyes, which quite frankly is a little bit gross for us nowadays to think about, but that's what He did. And so He spit on his eyes and then asked him, "Do you see? Do you see?" After putting His hands on him, after spitting on him, he asked him if he could see. And this is what he says. "And he looked up," verse 24, "and said, 'I see men like trees walking.'" Verse 25, "Then he put his hands on his eyes again." That makes a second time. "And made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly." Now, what am I sharing with you here? I'm sharing with you the fact that sometimes it takes more than one touch to be healed. Sometimes it takes more than one touch. That's why we say healing from disease can be a process. So when we're praying for those that are sick, if you're praying for someone with cancer, if you're praying with someone for someone with another disease, if you're praying for someone with a heart disease, understand that sometimes God takes a little longer to heal other people than he does some people, and there's a reason for that. It doesn't always come immediately. And so therefore, if someone you're praying for is getting better and they're not completely healed, don't go lose your faith over it. Don't go get upset over it because of the fact that they weren't immediately healed. God still may be doing a work in them. He still may need to be teaching them something, and he still may need other people to see what's going on in their life as they mature and as they grow in their faith through what they're going through. So understand, God does have to touch people a second time. But now look over in chapter 7 of Hosea. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 1. Hosea chapter 7 verse 1 says this: "When I would have healed Israel." When I would have healed Israel. "Then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they have committed fraud. A thief comes in, a band of robbers take spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness and princes with their lies." When I would have healed. Folks, let's be very upfront about this. There are some of you that are praying that God would heal you. There are some of you that are praying for your loved ones and friends to be healed. There are some of your loved ones and friends who are asking you and begging you, please go to church on Sunday. Go to church on Wednesday. Go talk to that preacher. Go talk to that person that fills out the prayer list and put my name on there because I need to be healed. And folks, the problem with that is that you've got sin in your life. You're living like the devil. You're turning your back on God. There is iniquity in Ephraim. There is wickedness in Samaria. You committed fraud. You're a band of robbers. You're not considering your own heart, and you're forgetting that God remembers all your wickedness. How can we, in good conscience, blame God for our diseases not being healed when we're the ones who are wicked? You see, folks, God can heal immediately, and sometimes he can take a little longer. But there's a lot of times, folks, I believe that there are people who are going to go to their grave with the illnesses that they have simply because they're living in sin and they will not get their heart right with God, because the healing that God would give them will not bring him glory. They would use it for their own benefit. They would use it for their own sin, and they would turn their backs even further from God. And so why should he heal them? Amen. So keep those things in mind, that healing from disease can be a process. Secondly, be prepared to pray for the long haul. Now, I don't believe we're going to get through everything today, but be prepared to pray for the long haul. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, that's in a memory verse we should all be able to get, don't you think? Pray without ceasing. When you pray for someone with disease, don't give up. When you're praying for someone who's sick, don't give up. Because the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Always be praying. They may not get healed today. They may not get healed tomorrow. And for that matter, they may not ever get healed. But don't stop praying. And then look, if you would, over into Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Listen to what the Bible says here. Be ye kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Do you see that? Did you hear what verse 12 said? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Weeping with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And most importantly, serving the Lord. Pray. Continue to pray. But understand that you might be in it for the long haul. This isn't going to be a short-term adventure. There are people that you know, I hope you know, that you've been praying for years to get saved. Don't give up. There's people that are sick. Don't give up. But in the process of while you're praying for them, be kind to them. Rejoice with them. Weep with them. Be a servant to them and serve the Lord. Pray for them. Stick with it. Let them know that you care. Let them know that you're in it for the long run. Thirdly, focus on the healer, not the healing. Folks, there's too many ministries out there that go around talking about being healed and don't talk enough about Jesus. Because, folks, the fact of the matter is, I would rather die of a disease and go to heaven knowing that I'm saved than live healed and die and go to hell. But there's so many people that focus their entire ministries, and there's so many people that give and attend ministries around the world that talk so little about God and talk so much about the blessings and the healings and the touches and the cloths and the seeds being sown and everything else, and very rarely talk about that sin that is in Ephraim. Folks, don't focus on the healing so much as the healer himself. Use the opportunity of the illness to focus on him and let him get the glory. Pray for the family. Don't you know that families that have people that are sick need to be prayed for too? Pray for the medical staff when someone has a disease. Don't just pray for the person that's sick. Pray that the doctor will use the wisdom that God has given him. Pray for the nurses, that they'll be able to take care of that person. But also pray that God will minister to the doctors and the nurses and the caretakers through this time of illness. You never know, folks. I've said this before, and I hope that you remember this. And if not, let me tell you again. Sometimes those people in the hospitals, the doctors and the nurses, the surgeons, they never come to church. And sometimes, therefore, God has to put the church in the hospital. Can I get an amen on that? Sometimes God has to take his people, the good people, and make them sick so that they can put them around the lost people that are in the hospital that don't have time for God or are too busy for God or have been hurt or been wounded, or the doctor or the nurse that is going through a divorce, or the doctor or the nurse that has lost their faith in God because they see so many people dying and so much pain, and they say, how can there be a God when there's so much pain and suffering in the world? You just might be that person. You just might know that person that is sick, that God puts there in the hospital so that you can be that person that shows love and mercy and grace and shows humility before God, saying, not my will, but thine be done. Pray for the medical staff. 6, renew your faith in the healing power of Jesus Christ. Dr. Meter says this, but I think it's pretty much covered in the first part. You know, when we talk about how Jesus can heal, don't forget this. Let this opportunity show you that he is still a miracle-working God. But number seven, the last point. When you're praying for those with disease, oh, folks, let me encourage this. I hope that you get this point if you don't get anything else. Remember that sometimes heaven is God's healing. Sometimes heaven is God's healing. Oh, we don't like hearing that, do we? That's not what we want to hear. No, preacher, I know God heals, and I'm believing for healing right now. I'm claiming it. God's going to heal my loved one. God's going to heal me. Well, just understand that the ultimate healing may not be in your body. Your ultimate healing may be when you die and when you go to heaven. Folks, do we not understand that this body is temporary? That we're not always going to be here. And so the greater purpose, the greater good is not that we're always healthy, but that God is always getting the glory through the circumstances, through the storms, through the valleys, including the mountaintops. Let me read something to you. In June of 1991, my father died, and as I left the church where I had preached his funeral, got out into the family car as we were heading to the cemetery, and I asked the brother that was driving the car, who's a friend of ours, to turn on the radio, and I'm not joking, and this is a fact, this is the truth. The very first song that came on was a song called Home Free by Wayne Watson. And this is the words to it. Let me read it to you real quickly and we'll close. It says, I'm trying hard not to think you unkind, but Heavenly Father, if you know my heart, surely you can read my mind. Good people underneath the sea of grief, some get up and walk away, some will find ultimate relief. And the chorus goes, home free, eventually. At the ultimate healing, we will be home free. And another verse goes, out in the corridors, we pray for life. A mother for her baby, a husband for his wife. Sometimes the good die young. It's sad but true. And while we pray for one more heartbeat, the real comfort is in you. You know, pain has little mercy and suffering's no respecter of age, of race, or position. I know every prayer gets answered, but the hardest one to pray is slow to come. O Lord, not mine, but thy will be done. Folks, when you're praying for someone with disease, understand these points. God can heal, so don't stop praying. God is a miracle working God, so don't stop praying. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. And stay in it. Hold on. But folks, remember, not my will, but thine be done. There's so many of us that are holding on. There's so many of us that want to see someone healed. There's so many of us that want to say, God, make this all better for me. And it's us, it's you and me that are wanting the healing. It's you and me that are selfish. It's you and me that don't want to be hurting, that don't want to go through the loss of losing a loved one. But God has a better plan. God has a better plan, and we just need to trust Him. So whatever the situation is, understand that God is still God, and even when things are out of our hands, when we're praying for those with disease, everything is still in His hands. Let Him do what only God can do, and trust Him in the process. Amen. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I hope that this has been an encouragement. And folks, just pray. Whatever the situation, pray and give it to God. He'll do what's best. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you again next week.